And as we take a look at chapter 11, we might look at these last few verses in chapter 11. And as we were trying to just meditate and think about what is found here in this portion of God's Word, there was a thought that came to my mind. And I was thinking about the lost, especially, as I was meditating on this. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be able to depart tonight, reflect back on this night, saying with what that was, we find over in the book of Numbers in chapter 23, about verse 23, "Behold what God hath wrought."
Amen.
Look what God's done. Look what God's wrought. And that's what soul salvation is. It's something that God does. We surrender to Him, but He's the one who does the saving. When we're born of God, we're not born of the blood or born of man, born of the will of the man, but we're born of God. God's the one who that saves our soul. And so when we instruct and try to present the good news, the good news is all about how that people who's lost can find salvation, find deliverance when they come to God. They surrender to God and God saves them. Behold what God has wrought. What a wonderful thought. I hope and pray that if you're here tonight and you're lost, in days to come, if you have the opportunity to stand when that song is sang, when it rolls around to a Saturday, say it was on a Saturday, somebody touched me, you'd be able to stand. The thought that's on our heart tonight comes from Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we'll begin reading verse 28. Very familiar scriptures, the Lord doing the talking. And here we find it written, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." With these verses before us and mistakes we may have made, this gives us a reading lesson from Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. I notice in these very familiar scriptures that there are a couple of thoughts that are really parallel to each other. On the one side, what we have is those who the condition of laboring and being heavy laden versus finding that which is easy and a burden that's light. So on the one side, I notice the Lord lays this out. And He's describing the condition that we find ourselves in when that we are not following after God, when we have not come to the Lord. See, obviously He starts this out, "Come unto me." Now obviously then there are those who've not come to the Lord. "Come unto me," then He beckons, "all that labor and are heavy laden." So the condition here of those in this situation is that they're laboring. There's work involved. And in this work, there is it's described as in this labor that they are, those in this condition, is that they're heavy laden. There's a weight upon them. And as you go through life, and you find yourself in this laboring condition, there's much that you keep upon yourself and that you carry through life. And the weight of that you carry through life with you is because that how you have not heeded what Christ has sent out as a message to you, that you should come unto Him. Therefore, you go on laboring. And you go on heavy laden. You go on with this weight that you carry. And I want to be just frank with you. I want to make it clear that this is something that's personal. not something that you know about for your own self. And as you arise to a day and you face that day, those days, don't they seem long? Those of you who labor and are heavy laden, don't it seem like you get out of the bed and that day that's in front of you seem like it's on a slope about like it right there. You start out climbing right uphill because of what you're carrying, because you are laboring under your condition. You're laboring and you're heavy because of what you carry. I want you to know that God says there's a remedy. You don't have to go through life like that. Rather, there's a yoke that's easy, and there's a burden that's light. That you carry now, though now, what you have upon you causes you to labor. And though what you carry through life is heavy, you can take, you can trade that. You can set that aside. You can set that aside and find relief. You can find something that's easy. Where now what you do is laboring, what you can find is easy. Though now what you do, what you got is heavy. Christ says, come to me and what you'll have is light. You know, much can be considered on these points. First off, an apparent is coming to the Lord. Without coming to the Lord, all there is labor, heavy laden. It's carrying that through life. Carrying out there on your own because you've not come to the Lord for this situation to be changed. Here's why Christ, we should esteem Him and hold Him up as that one who God has sent, and we should see in Him that which we can't find anywhere else. Christ, back before the foundation of the earth, before the very foundation of the world, God, we find over in the Revelation that before even the world was created, God setting His plan in order. The Bible lays the scene out for us. And in that scene, God searches. And He says that in this plan that would secure and ensure all things that mankind needed before that He would ever put creation in motion, He had everything wrapped up, written in a book on the inside and on the backside, sealed up, and unwilling for it to go forth, unwilling that it would be put in motion. There would be no utterance of "let there be light," lest this plan be secured.
Right.
So in this scene, John was out allowed to see this on the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote it down in the book of Revelation, contained in the fourth chapter of that book. And he said, the question was asked, who is worthy to take the book, to loose the seals, and to read it? Who is worthy to do these things? The scripture says a search was made, a search all through heaven, all through earth, all under the earth. As the search was made, and it was concluded, when the search was concluded, John said he wept much because none was found. No one could consider, no one could come forth on behalf. This was for us. This is for mankind. And as a man, John said, I wept much over the scene. The absolute that nobody could do it. Nobody could do it. Then somebody called out and said, John, weep not. Don't weep, John. Don't weep, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Here we've got one that's coming out of Jesse. Here we've got one who something has been seen here. The plan of God is unfolding. When the search was made and none were found able, God, the Son, God, the Word who had become incarnate, the second person of the Godhead, accepted the role upon Himself and committed Himself to mankind. What a wonderful image. John said, I look and I beheld a lamb as he'd been slain. Christ knew what he has committed himself to for us, for mankind. But he willingly accepted that for us, for all of us. Thank God. Thank God. Christ is not so laying aside all of the golden apparel, all of the array, laying aside the crown of being there right with the Father, laying aside the glory of the deity. He humbles himself and becomes a man, humbles himself as a servant, and is made in fashion as a man. He takes upon him the flesh and blood, and because we are flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same, that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things that would pertain to us. Christ came, combining in himself the absolute divinity of God and the absolute humanity of man. He is the Emmanuel, or the God-man. And then he came and suffered all things, being tempted just like us in all points, as a man or a woman, as an individual can be tempted. He went through all those temptations, yet without sin, and he proved it. He proved that though tempted just like we are, that he never sinned. He proved that he never sinned, because when he went to that cross, nailed yonder, submitted himself to death. Death came on the scene there, and he gave himself to death. But death had to give him up, because it had nothing in him. Death could not hold him. Therefore, on the third day, the body that had been pierced by the nails, the body that had been pierced with the spear, when Thomas doubted, Thomas wasn't present to see the Lord after his resurrection. Thomas even swore, I'll never believe this has happened unless I touch the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into the spear pierced side. Unless I do this, I'll never believe. Christ showed up. And he said, Thomas, come here. Come here. Come over here. Look at these hands. Look at this side. Thrust your hand in. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. The Lord said, blessed art thou, Thomas. You've seen and you have believed, but blessed are all these out here who've not seen yet still believe. Because he's just as real. He's just as real. And that body, pierced though it was, death could not hold him. His body never saw corruption. He never faced the deterioration that the body goes through at death, because death couldn't hold him. He was tempted just like we are, brothers and sisters, in all ways. But he overcame all of it and never sinned. Therefore, he's able to succor us, strengthen us in our time of need. We can come. We can remember. Wait, I'm in this time of need. I need help. Where's my help? My help is only in one. It's in Christ, because he's the only one who overcame death, hell, and the grave. Amen. He's the one. 500 standing there at one time, they witnessed for us all. 500 on the occasion as Christ ascended back in the cloud, observed and witnessed and saw this one, Christ. And the angels there on the scene have told us all, don't stand there gazing into heaven. Why do you stand there gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, the very one, the nail-pierced one, the spear-pierced one, this one is going to come again in like fashion as you've seen him. And we look for the day. See, the announcement of his return has already been made. It's been foretold. We have been told when he comes, the angels didn't say, Now he's going to slip back in here and you're not going to see him that first time. But then later on, he will come back in the clouds and everybody will see him in. He didn't say that, did they?
No.
He said he's coming back in the clouds. This same Jesus is coming back in the clouds. And John went further and he said, in all nations shall well because of him. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Even so, he is returning. So this one, he beckons, come unto me. Yes, we labor now. We labor because we labor, and we're heavy laden because we try to do it without the Lord. We try to do it without the Lord. I'm going to say this briefly. You see that in that corner, and that corner right over there? If the lights go out because of that thunderstorm, it's not going to bother me a bit. Don't let it bother you. Those lights will come on. Everything else may go off. Don't worry about it. The Lord will take care of it. So when we see this laid before us with Christ and the center of it, Christ is saying, here, he's calling all of our attention to this point. You labor and you go on heavy laden, toil through life. Get up and go through with the heaviness of being a human being. And you have the weight of sin. You have the weight of a body, which this body, though perhaps you're young now, it's aging day by day, by day by day. And at some point, it seems like it hits the pinnacle and it starts coming down. It's like a flower. That you've seen a flower spring up quickly. The spring comes around, all of a sudden the flowers spring up. And then the heat of the day starts getting to it and those flowers start wilting quickly and the flower goes away. So it is with us as mankind. The weight of it, the weight of just being an individual, the weight of, hey, we're in Adam's race. We're part of mankind. We're part of the human family. We're part of that one. That death is upon us all. Death is upon us all. When Adam, we find by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. God warned Adam, there's something out here that you need to know about. Adam, justice and righteousness, it's real, Adam. And when it's violated, if you violate it, you're going to let something in. And when you let it in, it's not just going to affect you, Adam. It's going to affect your whole race, Adam. The old devil come along and he took that very honest warning that God gave. He turned that around and essentially said, God lied to you, Adam. God lied to you. What happens is God, he wants to keep good things from you. He wants you to go on in your current naive state when there's a wisdom that's available for you. If you'll only just listen to me. The old devil, he's doing the same thing. He does the same thing with us now. He says to you, why? Why do you listen to God? Why do you get concerned about these messages, about this one named Jesus? Why? Just listen to me and go on in your current condition. But I ask you the question, is not your current condition full of labor? Is not your current condition full of heaviness? Is there not something that you carry now? Something that, I picture this, I worked around the school system a lot. You know, I think about these kids coming in and we'd assign them lockers. And I don't know, for some reason they thought they had to have a backpack big enough that they could put every book in the school building in there and still have room for crayons and pencils and calculators and all this. And they come dragging this big backpack in, walking in with this big heavy load that they're carrying as they come in. Oh, we're so much like that. Gathering and collecting, holding on. And the devil will say, just come on and follow me. And all along, step by troublesome step, by laboring step, continuing on, you labor and you're heavy laden. And as you come back down that path, laboring and heavy laden, there's one who's trying to get your attention, and he's saying, come unto me. But you got to come to him. His plea, come unto me, and I will give you something else. We'll take that you're carrying now, and we'll make it light. We'll take that you're carrying now, and we'll make that easy. And I tell you what else he says. Where the devil stands alongside and cheers you and gives you all these excuses and reasons to go on, he never once helps you. He just lets you carry more and more and more. Christ says, come along with me and I'll help you carry it. He says, you know how he guarantees that it's going to be light? Because he's going to be there with you. He'll be there to strengthen you. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I go away, and it's expedient that I go away. But if I go away, I'm going to send a comforter to you. I'm going to send one, and he will be with you forever. He'll be with you forever. I think about the way that he lays this out. Many examples of how that we go on burdened, we go on labor and heavy laden, when we could be at ease and go forth carrying that which is light. One of the examples I think of over in the book of Isaiah, the Lord, he says this. He says, for this is chapter 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Later on he says this, verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is not afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. God says this. You see those? You see those who are humble? Look at those who are contrite. I am reviving them. I want to tell you something, lost friend. I want to tell you something, those out there who are out there astray from the Lord. I want to tell you something. When you stick with the Lord, he's right there walking with you. He revives. He makes sure that those steps that you're taking as you're following after him, that there's peace, peace. He says, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to those who are far off and those who are nigh. There are rivers of peace, oceans of peace, peace that comes in, peace that is restful, peace for the soul, peace to all those who are far off, peace to those who are near, peace to everyone through Christ, peace available, peace if we would come to him. But we must come to him humbly and contrite, or you go on like that troubled sea. You go out to a lake, you go out to a river, as the current comes in, splashing up against the shore, and you can see the mire, you see the silt, as the water comes up and slaps the bank and comes back and rolls that up. That's a condition, that's the way it is inside for those who don't know the Lord, going on their own way, laboring, heavy laden, and sadly, listening to the devil, the adversary, who is coaching you on, enticing and telling, just come along. Why, they don't know what they're talking about. Why do you even care about Jesus and what he'd do? Why are you even concerned about that? I'll tell you why you should be concerned about that. Because he is just waiting to lift that for you. He is just waiting to release that off of you. He offers you another way. He offers you the way of peace. He offers that which you can't find anywhere but in the Lord. I think about, you know, we are living in a time when knowledge is abounding. The Bible speaks of this time when knowledge abounds, when people seem to know so much and knowledge seems to multiply, and that which is available that we can have right at our fingertips to take in and to consider, it multiplying exponentially and it creeps increasing. God foretold of these days and of the pride of man, of the pride that would follow. Oh, I tell you what God says though. In that pride that you keep, that pride adds to the weight. That pride adds to the burden. That pride adds as you go forth, because you consider that you think, well, I've got this all figured out. And rather than simply believing God and taking a look, go back and take another look. Take another look at Christ. Look at Him there. Look at what Thomas beheld. Look at the narrow, pierced hands. Look at the side that was pierced. And everybody admits, everybody acknowledges, that's the one who was nailed to the cross. But why couldn't death hold Him? Death couldn't hold Him because He had overcome it. There's something that's called righteousness. There is something, though you don't hear that. That's a word, really. I mean, how many times through the week are you going to hear the word righteousness? How many times at school do you hear the word righteousness? But just because you don't hear about it all the time, it doesn't do away with it. There's something called righteousness. You know, you don't hear much about the word sin, but it's still there. Sin is real. And why? That we can look again at Christ. And what we ought to see in Christ is we see in Him sin overcome by righteousness. You see what we have in us, and the reason that weight is heavy and the reason we feel that the way we do is because not only is sin real, but we're active participants of it. The evidence that we have, the evidence that you have tonight of your own sin, is you feel the effects of it right here. You feel the impact of it right here. Just as real as that is, just as real as that sin is, look at Christ. Look at Christ, who was nailed physically to a tree, nailed to wood, hung up off of the ground, nailed in such a way on that cross to where that in that agonizing position, as Brother Greg described wonderfully with the help of the Lord the other night, nailed there with his feet nailed, 1 foot upon the other, legs slightly bent and arms stretched out so that the weight of his own body pulling him down, causing literally his lungs to be compressed to where that he suffocated. And as he was suffocating to death there, think of the love. Think of his godness. Think of this, that when one nailed in the same way beside of him said, Lord, think of me when you enter into thy kingdom. That he in his minutes of death, as death was upon him, that he used his existing strength that he had enough to push himself back up to get a breath of air and say, today you'll be with me. Today you'll be with me in paradise. So that even though he's going through the agony of death, his love for us as mankind still shines out as a beacon in the night. Shines out even today, to say to us, it should be speaking openly to us now, saying, though you labor and you're heavy laden now, oh, this one, he said, come to me, that one who did that for that man right there beside of him, that same Jesus says, you come to me. That same Jesus with those hands pierced, side pierced, saying to Thomas after the resurrection, after going through death, and as he says there in Revelation chapter 1, and behold, I'm he that was dead, but I'm alive. And behold, that means look at him, considering he was dead, but now he's alive. And behold, he lives forevermore. Amen. Never to die again.
That's right.
Look at him. Look again at him. Think about that. What does this mean for you? It means he's saying to you, come unto me, because that one who overcame death is the only man who has done so. He's also fully God, so that when he says, you come to me, I'll take the burden away, and I'll go with you through life. You can guarantee he is God. He's able to stand by the promise. There's a lot of people who'll promise you a lot of things in life. They'll promise you a lot of things in their lifetime, and they have good intentions. They mean to be able to try to do those things that they promise you. But God cannot lie. God cannot lie. He fully considered all the implications before he ever promised. He fully considered everything that it would take before he uttered that. He fully thought about what all that you would be facing. He fully thought about all that I would be facing. He fully thought about all the circumstances in life. And he said to us all, I will never forsake you. I'll be right there. If you come to me, he says, those things that you're going through, that trouble, that heaviness, I'll take it away. I'll give you a yoke. I'll give you something that's easy. I'll make sure as you go through that it's light. But here's what he says about that. Though pride, though knowledge, though we think we're smart, though we think we have all these things figured out, God says to us by Isaiah over at Isaiah 55, he says to you, this same one who beckons, saying, come to me. He says this, seek ye the Lord. You seek the Lord while he may be found. You know what that tells me? There's a day coming when he won't be found. There was a man that Brother Greg preached about. I'm not, believe it or not, I'm not here to re-preach what Brother Greg preached all through the week. But what he did touch on, he touched on a man named Lazarus and another man whose name is not even recorded in the Bible. He's just simply called the rich man. Now this man wasn't really rich. This man wasn't rich with things that endures over into eternity. He only had acquired the things which you can gain in this world. That is the material things of the world. That's what he had a lot of. He wasn't really rich. Those who are really rich, they've been given something beyond price. The gift that comes from God far exceeds anything you can acquire in this world. Well, that man who is known as the rich man, rich with the things of this world. Now that man, he was one who came to a place to where the Lord could no longer be found. Now he saw what he missed out on. While he was in hell, we were talking about this today. While he was screaming in hell, I can't imagine what it sounds like for this man. You know, we read over there in Luke 16 about that man crying out to Father Abraham. But I don't think that we can express the agony that must have been in that man's voice.
That's right.
I've heard people, I have burned myself before. And for somebody, never fail, somebody runs up and says, what happened? What happened? And you're trying to explain it to them while you're in that pain. I can't imagine what his voice must have sounded like when he was crying out for relief from that place that he was at. Just to be told that he would never get it. That man was a mature man, and the voice of one at that age sounds, there's one pitch to that. I wonder the young who go there, I wonder what their voice sounds like. It's got to be an awful, awful scene. People screaming out in that agony. You know, and if you think about being burned like that, you know, just to have one part of your body burned is awful. But to think about two parts of your body burned, what about all of your body at the same time burning? What kind of agony that must be feeling like. And why is it that those go off into that place? Oh, because the time got away. They didn't seize the opportunity. They didn't hear God's call and respond to God's call of seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. We find here, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Wonderful news tonight.
Yeah, amen.
Boy, I can feel the Lord right around here. He is here. Here to be found. Call ye upon the Lord while he may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I want you to think about this, everybody here tonight. You know, pride in what we think we know, that's a heavy burden. Pride, would you go on laboring under your pride into what you think you know? And us, after all, simply men, simply creatures who are facing death, simply those who are limited, so limited, to think that we could know as much about anything as God knows. To think that we could even come close to that. But it's pride that will not allow us to stop trying to figure God out. Stop trying to figure out God's way. Stop trying to think your way out of a situation that will lead you into hell. Stop trying to figure out and come up with a way on your own that you can take away this that you know that you're carrying, because you can feel it. You can feel this that you're carrying. It's heavy. And you, because it's heavy, it's causing you to labor day by day. It is moment by moment. Even the thought of death coming there, death being right there in front of you. And you don't never know how far away death is from you. But you know it's close. It's close for all of us. We don't know how close, but it's close unto us all. And we don't know when death is finally going to reach out and take you. But it's close. It's close enough that at any moment, it could be ready to reach out for you now. Right now. And all along with death this close, this one, once again, think about Jesus. The nail-pierced one. The one who overcame death. He submitted to death. It was as if he walked into death when it was that time. He went to it. And but death, it had to turn him loose. It's not going to have to turn you loose when it lays hold on you. When it reaches out for you and it lays hold on you. The only way of escape that you've got is the one who's saying, come unto me. Come, let me take that weight off of you. Come, seek you. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Why is he saying that? Why is it so urgent? Because death is so close. Death is so close. It is so near to us all. It's almost like you turn around one day and you're in eternity. You're in eternity. Death is that close. And all along, Christ is saying, look at the evidence. Look about you. Feel what's going on as you go forward. Know the heaviness. Know the weight of your condition. Know the reason that it's like that is because you've not come to me, to Christ, the one, the Holy One, who has that ability, who's demonstrated the ability, has showed us all that he has that ability to take off the weight and leave you with a lightness and leave you to where that even though death is right there, though death is near at hand, you don't have to fear death. Because something about this lightness is there's peace. There's peace that comes. And I want to tell you, I want to speak with you just a moment about an assurity. An assurity that we read about over in 1 John. And here we find this. Herein, the Bible tells us this. God is love. God is love. And what God imparts to us who comes to him is a perfect love. We know, I'm glad that we know something about love. There are so many people in the world tonight who knows nothing about what it is to be loved by individuals, by people. They don't know what that is. I want to tell you something about a love that far surpasses the love of parents. The love of God. Amen. I want to say herein is our love made perfect. that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Think about what happens when something is cast out. When something is cast out, it's not invited to go away. When something is cast out, it is taken and it is moved away. Perfect love casts out fear. You know, the scripture says this. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I want to read your indictment to you tonight, lost friend. Here's your indictment. Here's how you know. Not only are you facing this heavy burden, part of the burden that you're facing is because of your fear. Your fear about that death that is close at hand. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. You know, when I was an 8-year-old boy, when I was just a boy, I was just a young child sitting in a house, sitting somewhere, hearing someone up, trying to conduct what I'm trying to conduct here. And as they were bringing the truth about the condition that you're in, the human condition, as He was bringing this forward, the Spirit of God come along and it showed me that burden that I described, that fear that I'm talking about, that I truly possessed it, that it was in me. And because it was in me, it was plain to me, as it should be plain to you, that you have not been made perfect in this love. You had not heard. I had not, even though Christ had beckoned and invited me, even though I had been asked to look at this one who'd been pierced, even though I had Him called to my attention, I ignored Him. Therefore, I was in a condition of being lost, and it felt like I was out in darkness. I felt like that darkness, I could feel it upon me. But in the darkness, this one named Jesus, this one who has already faced death, this one who, when death came, Christ met Him. And in the meeting, there was nothing death could use to hold Christ, so it had to turn Him loose. The only one in all of time that will happen for. Everyone else, when death comes for, death lays hold upon them. Friend, and your only rescue is to be fixed before that death gets you. Perfect love casts out the fear of death. Christ has a love that He'll put right here. You know, the greatest peace, the lightest thing to carry in the whole world is the love of God. The lightest thing to carry down inside of us is God's love. God's love brings peace. That love that God shines and sheds down inside of us, He gives it to us when we trust Him with all of our heart and submit totally to Him. He has got to be the one to give this to us. He has got to be the one to take the burden off. He's got to be the one to turn loose the weight. He's got to be the one to cut that free. But you've got to be the one to come to Him to have it done. Let me tell you what you get. You get a peace, you get a love down in here, a love that casts out fear. Let me tell you something. I know death is standing close by. Death is standing close by. Death may be waiting for me just outside these doors to go ahead and lay hold on me. But I'll tell you this, because and only because of what God put right here when I was an 8-year-old boy, only because of that do I not fear what will happen when death does lay hold on me. You can't say that tonight, lost friend. You cannot say that you have confidence that there's no fear of what's going to happen when that hand of death takes hold of you. That's another burden. That's another heaviness that you labor under day by day, not knowing, not having the assurance of salvation, not having the gift of God in your heart, and to go on day after day, after miserable day, after long day, carrying that doubt, carrying that trouble, carrying that lack of assurance. It's going to get heavier, it's going to get heavier, and it's going to get heavier. Christ wants to relieve you of that. And when He does relieve you of that, oh yes, you'll hear about death coming. Death will still be all around you, and people around you are going to die. Maybe somebody close to you has even died recently, just again showing you just how close death is. But let me tell you, you won't fear it. You won't fear it. Sure, we might all fear how it'll come, the sting of death as it's called, but to fear death, it's gone. It's gone. And because of what that God has done for us in soul salvation, those of us who have been saved, relieving that burden, we can have boldness in the day of judgment. And we can be so bold as to stand up when a song is sang that says, glory, 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 somebody touch me. And we can stand up boldly and say, yes, I was one of those. God has touched my soul. He has given me peace and joy with it. He took the heavy load. He took the heaviness and freed me of it. There's a lot of things that I have to do in life. A lot of things we have to do in life to have things. I still believe in the old. I still believe in what the Bible says. If a person won't work, he shouldn't eat. A person says, I have faith. I have faith and you have works. You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.
Amen.
You know, I believe in God enough, I believe I need to work.
Right.
I believe I need to work.
Amen.
We're going to go through, and you know, sometimes the old body gets tired. I hear Christ say that the spirit is willing, but the body is weak.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes down about Friday, I get to feeling that sometimes. The old body feels like it's getting weak. But I'm going to tell you what, that type of labor is light, very light, because the Lord goes with me day by day, by precious, by glorious day. The reason that it's light is because of the Lord, because He's there. You can't say that, lost friend. Not only do you have the body that's weary, but you've got a soul. You've got something down inside that stays heavy all the time. And the reason it's heavy is because you have not come to the Lord.
Yeah.
He's beckoning and He's saying, come. Come to me, is what He's saying. You know, sometimes people, when they come to one of these old churches, they see this pew right here, and they say, what's these people got this? They got all these benches here. As crowded as it gets sometime around here, you wonder, why don't we slide it back somewhere so somebody can sit on it, get it over there so somebody can use it. But, you know, the reason we turn this around right here is because this right here, we have found that it has helped a world of lost people find God. Because you know what, something about us that we have? We have pride down within us. And sometimes we dig our heels in and say, we're not going to do a certain thing. I'm going to tell you what, if you get saved, you're going to be willing to do whatever.
Amen.
You're going to be willing to submit totally to the Lord.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you what, this place right here, this may be the one thing that helps you to forget about everything else that's going on in your world. Hey, you get to thinking about that trouble that's down inside. And I hope while you're thinking about that trouble that's down inside, I hope you think about Jesus. I hope when you're in that trouble and you remember that what's going on is death is just this close. Ready for you to reach out and to take you at any moment. I hope when that you are sitting there and you're thinking about that you'll remember Jesus. And that you'll remember that coming to a place like this right here, being willing to come and seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He's near. Your willingness to come and do that may be just the very thing that you need to get past everything that's standing between you and the Lord. I'm thankful for this. We call this a mourner's bench. The scripture speaks of those who that mourn, that they're going to be comforted. There's peace from the Lord for those who mourn. I want you to know that you should come right here to this place right here tonight. You should come while we get a song ready. You shouldn't stay back. You shouldn't sit back. And you shouldn't hear and listen to the devil who says, well, you can find the Lord as easy right back here as you can up yonder. I want to tell you what. What you need to do is you need to shut the devil and everything that he offers you back, shut it aside, and just be willing to seek the Lord.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Come to him on his conditions. You know, Amen. Death is too close.
Yeah.
Death is too close. And Christ is so ready to save.
Amen.
He's waiting to save right now. He wants to save. He wants that weight. He wants what you're carrying. He sees where you're at. He sees what you're going through. And he says, oh, if you just come to me, oh, I would relieve you of that. I would take that away. And you'll never have to face that again. That will be gone forever. That would be gone forever. But you got to seek the Lord. Can't you seek the Lord right now? Can't you come while we stand? Can't you come and seek the Lord while we stand and sing? Can't you come and pray? Can't you, as we all stand, can't you take a step out and come forward and seek the Lord? Won't you right now? Won't you right now before that something comes along to distract you? Won't you seek the Lord? Go ahead and sing. Sing the song. Won't you right now? Won't you pray? Why won't you come? Go and say, right ahead.
Blessing Savior, calling the oppressed.